Welcome to the Sexy Biz Babe podcast. I'm your host, Tia Lynn, a business empowerment coach and motivational speaker. This show is for the high-achieving woman who wants it all. Each week, I walk you through how to own your power, generate consistent leads, attract clients, and close sales with ease and confidence. It's time to make money doing what you love. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. I have a really special guest, Tori. She is a transformational coach and mindset expert, and we are going to go over money, manifestation, and sex, and all the goodies. So go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience. I'd love to get into this.
Yes. Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I love Tia. Met her in person. She's my neighbor. So it's kind of cool. A little bit on my background. I have 3 degrees in psychology, but I've also studied spirituality for 20 years, including being a yoga and meditation teacher. So I love blending the East and the West. And I'm so passionate about helping women up their money game, because without, you know, clearing our money blocks and doing that inner work, like, we can't thrive in our businesses and we can't thrive in our personal lives, because that is the energy of abundance, essentially, in the world we live in.
Yes, she actually knows her stuff, you guys. So we're going to dive in. And also, how long have you been doing coaching?
I took my first coaching client in 2012 while I was still working in the corporate world. And I was a human resources person, so I did a lot of coaching and leadership through that. But I started my full-time practice January 1st, 2013, and I have been coaching ever since full-time. So it's like a dream come true to be able to do this work, solely this work.
Yeah, I know. I love coaching, especially coaching women. So who do you usually work with? What type of people?
I love female entrepreneurs, and then any women in leadership as well. So really helping them up their game and find how they can accelerate their success without sacrificing well-being or their relationships. Because that's a lot of times really successful women worry about that, right? We don't want to like give up everything to create the lifestyle and the freedom that we really desire. And I've learned you can have it all, just not always at the exact same time. And a lot of that is doing the inner work to create a different reality for ourselves.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. We can have it all, but it's not always at the exact same time. We can, but you know, sometimes there's ebb and flows on things. Sometimes you're focusing more on working out, sometimes on your love life. I love that you covered that. So what are you most passionate about in this work?
Seeing women transform and like really unleash their own power and recognize how strong they are. I think we're coming out of this phase of masculine and patriarchal success, which is like grind yourself down and give up everything for it. And feminine success, which I know you're so much into. And I just see it as like being much more about everything inclusive, meaning that we can have the love, the success, the abundance, all of that stuff. So I love seeing women step into that. Like, I had a woman that I worked with that just really didn't really believe that was true. And she's literally created a job where she travels full time. She makes over 200K and she's like dating an amazing guy. And when we met, you know, she just really didn't think that was possible. So seeing somebody, their whole world change from changing the way they look at things and changing the inside stuff to change their whole external world.
Yes, that is perfect. So it's so true. Men and women do kind of, they work differently. We work differently. We function differently. Hustle, hustle, hustle. It's only going to get us so far and burnout and not loving our life as much. And it's so crazy because once I've learned like, okay, some days I really just got to hustle and grind some things out. But I've really learned that getting in this ebb and flow of allowing myself to receive and have more joy and fun in my business has been a game changer.
It is a huge game changer. And we know psychologically that men and women's brains are even different. Like, the size of the brain is different, the left versus right hemisphere. Women are much better multitaskers. And historically, you know, they've even tested this, which is really funny. They've put men in situations that women would be in where they would be like, cooking and watching a baby and doing all these things. And the fake baby literally fell down the stairs when the man was doing it. So the woman was able to put it down and run over and grab the baby before it went down the stairs. So there's all this really fun research on how different we are. But I think this is why historically, like, women have been much more cautious about what does success look like for me and what do I have to give up for that. And I think now we're in this opportunity of redefining what success is and seeing these women that are just absolute boss babes with a baby on their hip or a great loving relationship or manifesting money from an online program where they're teaching what they've been through. Like, that's power.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love all that we're already covering. And then now let's dive into the juicy stuff. So how does money relate to sex? First of all, like, what in the world?
I know that sounds so odd, and it really doesn't come from the psychological world. It's come from the Western world. Or I'm sorry, that's the Western world, the psychology. The Eastern world is much more about the chakras and the energy system. And what's fascinating is that I've learned that what gets stuck in the body actually blocks our manifesting. Mm. And so what we've seen in research is that people can go to therapy for multiple years and not actually make the progress in their physical life that they want to make. And one thing that I learned when I started training in energy psychology was that if we don't get the body and the difficulty that's happened to us online, like if we don't do that work, it will block us. And so the second chakra, which is right below your belly button in yoga, is the place of creativity, abundance, and intimacy and sex. And so how we get blocked there is, you know, life experiences, tough things with intimacy, not trusting our creativity, not trusting ourselves. But once we are blocked in that energetic center, it also blocks our ability to manifest money.
Okay. So what are some examples of things that maybe would block somebody and, or trauma? Like, what is it? It's all about examples.
For sure. No, it's not an easy concept to totally just conjure up in your mind. So what I've seen for sure is, let's say that there was a lot of childhood stuff, maybe around like the parents struggled with money and then you always saw that. And then you struggled with money and then you start to internalize not trusting yourself with money. That can be a second chakra issue. Like maybe you get business ideas, but you don't trust them and you don't put them into the world. So you fall into all this self-doubt and that can be a second chakra issue because you're not trusting your own second chakra, which is coming up with all the ideas. You know, we've all had that happen as female entrepreneurs. Like, we get this great idea and then we start thinking, someone else already does it. I'm not going to do it any better. We start doubting and we just don't put it out there when that is literally what you're supposed to be doing. Of course, sadly, you know, there is physical sexual trauma or inappropriate. You know, I think the statistics now are that 1 in 2 women have been touched inappropriately at some time in their life. And so we stop trusting our body and we stop trusting our sexuality and we actually block off pleasure.
And we start being scared of it, scared of the intimacy, scared that we're not bad. They feel bad. Scared of the pleasure. Like you said, I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And the pleasure and the receiving are the same in life and love as they are in money. We have to trust that money is pleasurable and it can bring us good things. And a lot of us might have even had experiences where, you know, relationships were tough, or like I said, even, you know, I work with a lot of women who've had inappropriate things happen to them as children or tough things. That's my own story of trauma. And I've had to heal a ton of that stuff. And this is not to say that you must be having sex or anything else. It's so much more about receiving, because your second chakra is really about honoring yourself and trusting yourself. So if you are not feeling an alignment with intimacy, that's okay too. It's actually much worse to not feel like you want to do it and force yourself to do it. So even women who are in a marriage who don't feel into the partnership at that moment, it's okay to say no. It's better to honor yourself.
100%. We actually covered that in one of my other episodes around sex, is you don't have to ever do something for someone if you don't want to, even if you're in a committed relationship. It's your body, and in the end, it serves both people if you make sure that your needs are met and you want to, and you're only doing it when you want. It literally serves both people. But one of those things that you covered was pleasure. And one of the things is feeling more. I know a lot of women, we really struggle like feeling too much. Like it's almost like, oh my gosh, it's too much pleasure, too much joy. And I've actually been learning about this recently and doing some healing on this. And it's like, we're scared of having too much pleasure, too much happiness. And so that receiving is more like opening up and really allowing it type of thing. Is that kind of what you would say?
Yeah, we don't trust joy, and we are biologically wired towards self survival, preservation, all that stuff, right? Like the strongest part of the brain is the limbic system, which is the part of you that wants to survive. And so, you know, Brené Brown talks about this so beautifully with like, if you're watching a show and you see this happy family driving down the freeway and they're all singing and happy, what's the next thing you think is going to happen?
Get car accident or
exactly.
Something.
like when she did research on this, like 90% of people said, if they see this happy, joyous family driving down the freeway, they believe the next scene is them getting into a car accident. So we are biologically wired to be that way. So when joy shows up in our own life, sometimes we subconsciously sabotage it or we don't want to receive it. And I see this a lot of women who, you know, can't even let someone pay for a coffee for them.
Yeah.
Like that's such a small act of receiving. Is like, I'll have my clients have a week of, or even a month of yes. Like if someone's offering you something kind that you actually would like, because, you know, you don't have to take everything.
Yeah.
But if someone says, hey, I've got this meal, or hey, let me buy you that coffee, or anything like that, to say yes, to receive it is such a practice to trust that it's okay and that you don't owe them anything for them giving you something.
It's so funny because this is what I've been working on. I realized I was not able to receive. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to receive. I always was giving, and I didn't really realize that until someone pointed it out to me. And I was like, oh, like I felt selfish. I felt like I was the most selfish person because I put my needs first. But then someone pointed out that I give a lot, and I never ask for help. And then so the last few months I've asked for help. I've also allowed people to help me. Mm-hmm. It's changed everything for me. I don't know. I just feel more love. I feel more abundance. So what are some tips for maybe women listening to help get rid of these blocks that maybe they might be having from past trauma, not receiving? I don't know, whatever you think.
Yeah, no, there's so much. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background on that, what you're talking about is the law of reciprocity. So we know this in spirituality. I cannot give and give and give and give. It will just lead to burnout and disappointment. And a lot of women get into resentment because they overgive and they never are receiving back to fill up their own cup. And then they even stop themselves from receiving from themselves. Like how many women entrepreneurs have you met who don't pay themselves or celebrate or put money away for themselves? Like they keep putting it back into the family, back into the business, and they are slowly withering away because they're, you know, self-care is not selfish. It's survival, especially if we're supporting other people. It's an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have that reciprocity. Another point I wanted to make before I get into kind of the steps to go through was it's really important to think about the energy that we put out when we're making a decision. Mm-hmm. So if I keep making decisions out of obligation, I will keep manifesting obligations in my life. So if I'm thinking I can't receive here, or it's not safe to receive in this, like from my partner or from, you know, cause I even had that when I started my business, like at first, you know, my husband would pay more of the bills a month and I would feel really like uncomfortable with that. Cause I'd never not fully carried my weight. And so I've even had to work on, you know, I've had to definitely work on receiving.
Yeah.
So the first step that we always start with is the awareness that we're not receiving, and go into how you're feeling. Because you will feel a little bit resentful, or like when you need something, people aren't there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, you know, and I call it the classic rescuer, like the woman with the cape on. And I know because I've been her. All your friends should probably be your coaching clients. You know, you're doing more in your household than anyone else. you're paying for things more often than other people. You're worried about how your decisions are affecting other people instead of thinking about how they're affecting you. You believe it's selfish to have self-care, time for yourself, or to say no. You know, sometimes I even see it manifest, especially with money, where in healers and coaches, like, they feel like it's bad to charge a decent amount of money because they're not actually helping the client. Mm-hmm. And so these are the ways to look at, like, in our behaviors, like, what is that awareness?
Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm just going to give some examples. Yeah. I was giving in my business. I kept being like, oh, maybe I'm not giving enough. Maybe I'm not giving enough. I'm not helping enough. And it got to a point where I did get resentful. I got like, I hate this business. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of doing this and not getting money back. But I think it was, yeah, I wasn't pitching my services. I wasn't allowing people to pay me. It was like a block. I wasn't receiving in other areas as well. I wasn't receiving help. I was just so focused on, I guess, the money too. It's kind of funny. So
it is.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you're ready to give some tips, but what are some things that they can do? Well, one thing I'm going to share real quick is,
yeah,
I actually, at a time that I was struggling in my business, I asked my dad for help. And this was one of the hardest things to do, I swear, in my life. Like, this was just really hard for me to ask for help. And it was just a struggle bus, but I didn't make it because I knew I needed it. And I reached out and then he helped me and it felt so loving. It felt so nice to be cared for and to allow it and to receive it and also strengthen a relationship. So, I mean, that's one example, but do you also have some?
Yeah. When we allow people to help us, like, we're giving them the gift of doing that, but we actually heal primarily through relationships. So you're also kind of giving that example. And gosh, I've had so many instances in my life where I did not want to, like, to give you an example of how bad I am at asking for help. When my husband and I were newly married, I got the flu and I was so sick. I couldn't walk. And I army crawled, like, on my elbows, pulled myself across the, like, house to the fridge to get myself water. Mm-hmm. He was like, are you crazy? You know, like, what's wrong with you? Right. Like, yeah. Why don't you just say, like, hey, babe, I need water. Can you get it for mm-hmm. me? So I've definitely come a long way in that aspect, but it's something we have to practice, I think, every day and look at what are our beliefs around it. Because I grew up with such a fierce belief around being independent
mm-hmm.
and having to rely on myself. And maybe mm-hmm. if you were like me and your parents weren't reliable, because mine were not, you know, both mm-hmm. my biological parents had suffered with severe addiction. So mm-hmm. I really had to take care of myself my whole life. So look at your beliefs around receiving. Like, what does it yeah. mean? Like, I've had clients tell me, like, well, if I take something from someone, then I owe them something back, mm-hmm. or that makes me selfish, or I'm not being grateful, or maybe they even just grew up in a family where their mom was always that way, where mom always took care of everybody, never took care of herself. And we revere that in our society. Like, yeah. I actually don't like when people talk about their mother and they talk about how selfless she is. And, like, basically, like, mom doesn't even buy herself shoes. And I'm like, well, don't you want your mother to have shoes?
Yeah.
This isn't all. Like, why are we revering this idea of, like, this, our mother has to be Mother Teresa?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know Mother Teresa made millions on her books. And that's how she survived. That's how she made all of her charitable work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. So having that awareness that's happening, looking at our beliefs. So some questions I love to have people do is, like, how were your parents around money? Like, what were the messages you constantly got? What were even those little phrases that we heard growing up? Like, even if you were told all the time, no, you can't have that, how are you doing that to yourself now?
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a really big one.
And I won't even let my clients say, I can't afford that. I'll say, I don't want to invest in that right now, or I'm choosing to spend my money elsewhere. Because these are things we grew up saying and we perpetuate them and we keep manifesting them.
Yeah. So how does this relate to, like, the sexual trauma and the sex? Like, is it having more? Is it receiving? Is it doing it yourself? Like, how does this relate to...
You can always do it yourself as long as... Do whatever works for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So think about if we've had sexual trauma, a lot of people... will protect their body. They'll protect themselves and they won't let people in. And then they also will not let money in.
Okay. Okay.
Because how we do anything is how we do everything. You know, it's just like you can't not feel pain and simultaneously feel joy. Mm-hmm. You're just not feeling anything. So it's the same thing. And the body is actually very wise. And I've seen women hold on to physical weight even as mm-hmm. a protective mechanism to mm-hmm. not attract men. But then they also will tell me in the same breath, well, then they don't want to do live video because they don't feel attractive. So then they can't even attract their ideal client, right? Mm-hmm. So again, how we do anything is how we do everything. So depending on what's happened, obviously sometimes we're going to need therapy because the depth of what's happened, you know, if you've had sexual trauma, the first thing I would say is know that it's affecting you more than you even think. But the people who just maybe had a really rough breakup or they're not feeling as open to receive, mm-hmm. there's energy work you can do. So you can Google EFT tapping as a form of energy psychology, which is very effective. You can do mantras, and this is something that drives me nuts. And I know it's only because I have the education, so I'm just going to go with it. A mantra and an affirmation are not the same thing. Everybody in the spirituality world talks about this. They say, mm-hmm. they will interuse the common names like they are the same thing. A mm-hmm. mantra is in Sanskrit and it has an energetic component to clear you of something.
Oh, okay.
So saying I am rich is not a mantra. That's an affirmation. Affirmation is an affirmative positive statement you're saying to yourself over and over, which is obviously wonderful. You can do affirmations. Mm-hmm. I am open to receive. I am unstoppable. All these things are great. But mantra is an energetic thing that we're actually tuning into the energy. Like these things have been done for 5,000 years in the Eastern healing world. Mm-hmm. And so the second chakra, which is the one responsibility for sex, money, creativity, is VAM, or it's like VAM. It's spelled mm-hmm. VAM. But you just say it silently in your mind during your meditation or your prayer. And it's just boom, boom. And you focus on that energy right below your belly button. Like think of your womb, basically right where your uterus is. And picture the color orange because that's the color of it. The rainbow is the color of our chakras and starts at red and it ends at violet at the top. So you can even place your hands on your womb. You can also spin the chakra. So it would be towards your left shoulder to clear it and just say, I now, you know, with your hands on it or spinning your chakra saying, I now fully release any blocks I have to receiving love, money, joy, abundance, whatever word you're working on doing. Like these are great daily energetic tools because what we do daily is what helps heal us. And so make it part of your daily routine to just do some work on that second chakra. If it's really deep and there's deeper traumas, then, you know, we heal trauma through therapy, energy work, getting a great coach who's trained in it, or a therapist. Mm-hmm. But I've seen so many people, 90% of the people I've worked with have had trauma and they didn't know they had trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would vehemently tell me that they had a great childhood. And then the more I would dive into it and the more I'd get to know them, I'd be like, okay, well, that is actually not, you know, it's really tough what you went through and that's okay. And I'm not trying to say you had a bad childhood, but there's some things that were traumatic that are still affecting you today.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. Even my mom called me and she's been working on herself so much. And she's like, Tia, you need to heal some of your trauma. And I was like, what trauma? And she's like, kind of like not wanting to tell me, but then she was telling me like, you have some trauma, you know? And I was like, okay, I'll try and work on that.
And we have generational trauma too.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're finding, you know, spirituality has known this forever that karmically things are passed down. But now in Western research, we're seeing that they can actually find that those beliefs of fear particularly are passed down. And we know this because most of us are born, they've done this with babies. They put them on a staircase over, but there's plexiglass so that they could not fall. But a baby will not step off that. They have visual acuity, right? But then they find that we have these common fears like snakes, spiders, heights, all these things that like that's been genetically encoded in us. Mm-hmm. So I love to do that work with my clients of look at your mom, look at your grandmother. Like, did you come from someone who went through the Great Depression. Like, you're going to have a lot of lack mentality in your mindset because it was subtly passed down to you, and and your mother was raised that way and you were subtly raised that way, and it's going to block the way you manifest money.
Yeah. So healing yourself now is going to help your future generations, help your children, help your, even your friends around you or the people around you, or your roommates or your husband or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. It actually helps them heal too by you healing.
It does. And in spirituality, we know this, that we talk about when you heal yourself, you heal seven generations before you and seven generations after. So there's literally a ripple effect. And I'm a quarter Native American, and that really comes, like, they really talk about the ancestral lines. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful to think about that. And I know that we've had conversations, but even me with my mom, you know, my mom was a severe drug addict my entire life. I was actually born to her while she was in a short heroin rehab center. Like, she was in a short-term heroin. So thank the universe, I was born okay. But that struggle went with her whole life. And when I started really doing my deep healing work, I was able to make amends with her before she actually passed. And that was something, because, you know, some things that she had done were unforgivable, or, you know, a lot of people would say, but doing that work completely changed it. And that would be another big path to start healing your healing journey on your own, as I believe that forgiveness is the core of all healing.
Oh, huge, huge. But I swear it's energetically, they can feel it. Worked on this, it was 9 day.
It is. And it's not, and I always tell people too, like, I've had unforgivable things done to me. Like, I've been, you know, my mother physically abused me at times. Like, they're awful things. So I'm not saying this is someone who's been through nothing, because that's actually one of my pet peeves, right? I hear people on stage talking about stuff and I'm like, okay, well, you really can't relate to what I've been through. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of missing in our industry, is like telling these tougher stories.
Oh yeah.
So I just want to share, like, I've had to forgive those unforgivable things, and it's helped transform me and my relationships and my ability to make money, because you never have to tell the other person you've forgiven them. It's 110% for you. It's, think of it as like putting weight in your own backpack, or like putting more blocks in your own path.
Yeah, I like that.
like you're just taking out all of these heavy weights so that you can manifest more money, so that you can have more love in your life, so that you can be more, like, everything you want is on the other side of healing.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, my life has transformed this year, and it's from these things that she's going over. Working on receiving, working on forgiveness, working on past trauma. You guys, my whole life has changed in the last few months.
And you were saying, like, quickly in 1 year, just from doing this work.
Quickly. Months.
Yes, it can be so fast. Like, I literally had a client where she didn't know her purpose. She didn't know what she was here to do. She was so confused, like working a job she hated. And we did 8 sessions, and she'd been working with a therapist for over 8 months. And in 8 sessions, she'd completely changed the trajectory of her life. Like, went back to grad school. Like, it was like a night and day transformation of how happy she was, how clear she was on what the work she was to do in the world, and what she wanted to create for herself.
Yep. It's, I've had transformations in a day. I've had whole flip arounds where I didn't have a relationship with someone in my family. I forgive them. I healed on them. They popped up in my life, and we had a real honest communication. And within that day, so much was healed. And it's just like mind blowing. It's mind blowing that for 29 years, we didn't go 29 years without having an honest communication, like talk. And then just when I worked on myself, it like literally opened it up. So yes. I get really passionate about that, because I've just seen it in my own life so significantly that it's just, it's nuts. It's crazy.
It is. And that's why, you know, I kind of came up with my brand, the Transformation Babe, because I've been doing this work personally for 21 years now. And that started with wandering into a yoga class and, you know, starting my degree in psychology, my first degree. And if you think about where I should be statistically, you know, I'm the first woman in my family to not go to jail, to graduate high school, definitely college, and to not suffer from addiction. From my entire maternal line to my mother, my sister, and my grandmother all died due to drug-related problems, two of which overdosed. So the fact that I have a long-term marriage, I live in Orange County, I'm financially independent, is just such a far cry and talks about the power of this work. And there's so much different things we can do. So I always say, trust your gut and know that the teacher is going to show up and start with the thing you want to shift the most. But yeah, that first thing is the awareness that needs to change, looking at your beliefs, doing your forgiveness work, and then creating that those daily practices around the receiving and your mindset work. That's another thing to talk about.
And so it's never too late. I really want to tell my listeners, it's never too late. Like 29 years of not having a relationship with one of my big members of my family, 29 years. And it changed like that. So it's never too late. Even if you're 60, 70, like you can change so much in your life. And it's just taking that first step. And even those things that I did was the small things of receiving, asking for help, even asking for a ride from one of my pole classes was something that was hard for me. It was hard for me to ask for help. And so I started doing it daily and being like, hey, can I have help? Can I have a ride to the store? And it was so hard for me. But then receiving and thanking them, it's literally opened up so much.
Yeah. And a great question. Like you brought up like that, like when we're in that struggle and we want to do something and we're not doing it, I love to ask my clients, what do you feel like the other person would think about you if you ask them for help? Mm-hmm. That's usually what we need to clear. Yeah. Be like, oh, that I'm needy or I can't take care of my own stuff or that I'm asking too much. And a lot of times I can bring those things back to childhood. Like there was I call it the primary incident, but in a lot of things like with money blocks or something, I can kind of find that tether back to a belief we formed when we were young around asking for help. And, you know, not, we don't want to be perceived as lazy or like we, especially women, like we want to look like we have it together all the time.
Yeah.
And that's because it's safer to look that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't want to be unsafe. We don't want to feel like we're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerable and depending on someone or that someone has to help us and then we have to give them something. I don't know. That's kind of what popped in my head.
I actually hear that one a lot, that there's like some kind of like energetic debt almost created or, you know, especially if I find a lot of women grew up learning that in order to be loved, they had to be needed. And so they kind of overgive to create that like
need.
Yeah. To create that need. Cause if, you know, if you're indispensable, no one's ever going to leave you.
Mm-hmm. So true. We got into some deep stuff. So just are some like takeaways that they could do without like doing therapy. Say they don't have money for therapy. They're like, they can't do that right now. Or, you know, maybe in the future they can, but what are some things that they could maybe do to heal either sexual trauma or just work on relating to sex? First idea is maybe to allow to feel the pleasure is my first thought. What are some things that you could add to that?
So if there is sexual trauma, one of the most powerful things you can do is find someone that you trust to talk to about it. I find most women have never told anyone. And, you know, I've had the honor of having many girlfriends tell me, even like, I remember like one of my first friends when I was like 19, I remember having that conversation with her and she'd never told anyone.
Yep.
And that's so common. So we know from like trauma research that having a community of people that support you, and it could be even one, can help you heal. Mm-hmm. So explain to the person up front how to react to you because they don't know. So sometimes you can just say, yeah, because they might overreact and make you feel uncomfortable. So let them know, like, I want to share something with you I've never shared with anyone. And I don't need you to fix it or feel bad or whatever you're afraid of them doing. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something even for me, like I used to like, when I was in my 20s, you know, I'm 40 now, so it's been a while. But when I was young, even in like high school, I would lie and say that, you know, like my parents, like I told people in college my mom was dead because it was easier than saying my mom is in jail right now for meth. You know, and people would react with judgment or fear or, you know, like, oh my God, like what's wrong with this girl? Right.
Yep.
So prepare them for that conversation. Let them know, like, I'm going to tell you something and it's really deep and, you know, just please honor it. And you can tell them, like, this is just between us. Just make sure that if you're telling someone, in California, we don't have mandated reporters. I think states like Arizona still have that. So just know that if you're younger and you tell your therapist in some states, look this up, if you report like childhood sexual abuse, they're mandated to report that. So just choose who you tell if you're not ready to tell a lot of people. So like a teacher or someone, because that might be the person you trust, but maybe find a good friend that you trust and tell them about it. Get the experience out. Then the next thing to do would be to start feeling safe in your own body. And that's what gets taken away from us in sexual trauma. I find a lot of women actually dissociate from their own body and they live in their mm-hmm. mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel safe to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
So a practice you can do from Peter Levine's work on healing trauma is, he's a great trauma psychologist, is touching your own arm and saying, like, this is my arm. This is my body. Like reestablishing boundaries with your physical body and knowing that you can say no. Because the way we survive trauma is by having no boundaries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we have to remind ourselves and physically get back. Like, I love to have people just like meditate, just sit there, do some deep breath, put your hands on your lower belly and feel every part of your body and say, this is my body. And no one has the right to harm it in any way.
That's a really good one, you guys. Write this down. Do this. This is a good homework. Like, this is your body. I think this is a really good thing to go practice.
Yeah, we have to retake ownership.
Mm.
Because that's how a lot of people feel after, you know, any type of physical trauma. Like, to feel powerless that someone could come after you and harm you without you being able to stop it is a really tough place to be in.
Yeah.
And so we have to consciously get out of that because you're a survivor. You got through that shit. Not many people can say that they've done that,
mm-hmm.
but we have to take that ownership of our body back.
Mm. And what about maybe a couple things for people who haven't maybe had trauma around sexual trauma or anything? What's something that they could do to help them manifest more money?
Yeah. So I always start with people who've not had a lot, and that, I know we're talking about sexual trauma, but that can go for any trauma, any physical trauma. So those two things, like, you know, talking, when you talk about something, you bring it out of the dark and into the light, it can no longer haunt you from the depths anymore.
Yeah.
Getting back into your body will always help us. Like, we know yoga and physical exercise is really great for getting energy moving. And then for people who've not had anything, you know, major, they don't think they have, really go into your beliefs, like write everything you think about money.
Right. So I always tell my clients to brain dump this.
Yes. If you're doing it alone or you don't have someone to really go through it, like, I have people do a brain dump. I also have them look at, like, write down their current income and their current savings. How do you feel about those numbers? What comes up for you?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Like, does it feel good? Does it feel bad? You know, just really sit with that. Like, I always tell people, when it comes to your money stuff, trust your body because your mind will make up all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Yeah. Your body does have a reaction.
Your body will never lie. But if you look at your current income right now or what you're paying on your bills or, you know, what you have in savings, because savings equals safety, how does it hit your body? Like, do you feel a little sick to your stomach? Because then you know, like, where are you off? What number would make you feel safe? What number would make you feel good? When you look at your income, does it feel too low? Or are you feeling undervalued?
Mm-hmm.
Again, doing that parental, you know, looking at what your parents said and did around money, like, and how are you giving away your power with money right now? Like, is there someone else taking care of you? Are you giving all your energy to a job that you don't want to be doing? Because that will also block money manifesting. And then we've got to have the daily practices are the most important. So I have a 7-step daily mindset practice, but if I had to, like, make it easy for someone, the first would be doing gratitude.
Oh yeah. Every day. Write it down, you guys. I just wanted to.
You've got to write it down. It has to be real. It has to be tangible. I like to look at just have my clients look at just, there's 4 levels of gratitude. So we always start with the first level, which is being grateful for what is. Mm-hmm. And that is, just look at the last 24 hours. And if you're struggling with self-confidence and self-belief, make one of those things something good that you're grateful you did.
There you go. I like that. Grateful that you did. I'm grateful I did blank blank. I like that. That's a good one.
Even if it's like, even if you're in a low state and you're like, you know, I'm grateful that I got out of the house, or I'm grateful I spoke up in that meeting.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that I asked my partner to help me with the dishes. Like those are mini wins, and we do not look at our wins. We
always know
what we could be doing better. Like, so doing that gratitude, find a money meditation that you like on the internet. And I'm saying find the one you like because I've listened to thousands and I hate most of them. But one that resonates with you, and try to do 10 minutes of that. And then, you know, I already talked about the movement. I also love to do a vision statement for what you want your life to look like. So you write it as if it's already happening, but you would write at the top, you know, I'm so happy that I'm abundant. I'm manifesting X amount of money. And I did this. I still do this, but you know, it's like, I remember at first in my business, it was like that. I just want to hit the 10K, 10K, 10, you know, that's like all of our goals, right? Like we just want to hit the 10K. And I just like stopped focusing on the numbers and got really crazy about just getting into like my healing work and getting into the daily practice and like making like a major commitment to myself that 6 days a week, I was going to do that daily energy work and I was just going to be of service and go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I hit my first 30K month.
Yeah. Oh, and actually same here. I'm no longer being like, oh, 10K, 10K, 10K. Literally there's like a literal block around that. And now I'm focusing on, I'm so thankful I have 10 clients in my mastermind. I'm so grateful that I found the right people to come in my mastermind. And that's what I've been focusing on. And then the money is coming. The money is coming and I'm taking the right steps. But sometimes if you feel a block for a number, especially 10K, I feel like the coaching world, everyone's like, 10K, you made it when you hit 10K.
Yep.
But I am like, if you feel resistance like in your body, in your mind, if you like feel like that's not achievable, change it. Stop looking at it. Stop and focusing on it.
Totally. And it is it's kind of a limiting belief, right? That I have to make X this month or that month. And it's like, well, what if you made 60K in 1 month? That would cover you for five. And you wouldn't, you know, you had just had six consecutive 10K months. Like you blew it out of the water. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is a different way to look at it. But yeah, money manifesting, you know, they always in The Secret and stuff, you know, they talk about like, believe and receive. And that's true. You just have to believe it a little bit more than you don't. Like you have to believe in your ability to do that, but that's where the beliefs work comes in. So they say, ask, believe, receive is like the three main steps that you'll hear like everywhere with money manifestation. Me personally, I have seven because it doesn't include any of that internal work. And what we have going on internally affects how we think, it affects how we take action. And then that all affects our results.
Yep.
So I see these amazing, ambitious women all the time who are frustrated that they're not getting to that next level of success. And when I talk to them and we have sessions, I'm like, wow, there's still so much deep work that needs to be done. There's still some stuff going on that they just don't even, they can't see because we can't see it in ourselves. So that'd be my last tip is get support, whether it's from a good friend or a coach or a mentor, but someone who can look at you objectively and you feel safe not having any judgment around what you need to say or where you're struggling and have them reflect back to you what they see and make sure it's someone good. Cause most of what people say to us is a projection of their own shit.
Hands down. Yes.
And you know, I have a great coach and I'm part of a mastermind and I love that I have a bunch of women around me that I can just go to and talk about like, you know, and see them making bigger numbers and see all these ways that like, okay, I can step up. Cause sometimes we just need that person to believe in us a little bit more than we believe in ourselves too.
Mm-hmm.
See your potential and tell you about it.
That helps so much. Even asking your best friends or your friends around you, like, what are you good at? What's something that sticks out in their head that's good about you or that you're good at? I don't know, just some type of win.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, sometimes it's different than you think too. A lot of my clients, even though I help them with sales, they love that I help them with confidence. That was one of the things. And I was like, oh, like, okay. Like I just naturally kind of help them with their confidence.
Sales is all about confidence. Yeah. If we're not confident in what we're offering, people feel that and they don't, you know, they're not going to feel safe signing up with you if you're not confident you can get them results.
Yeah, you can't pitch a price if you're not confident and actually get the price. If you're spitting out numbers that you're like, shaking in your boots.
Yeah, or you keep changing it. That's why a lot of people will not sign up, is because they don't feel like you're ready to offer that result, or they're not sure where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So it is important to have that confidence. Mm-hmm. It's such a huge shift in our energy and how we show up in the world.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. So we got some tips for you guys. We have the mantra. We have the gratitudes. Yeah. Reach out to one of your friends, maybe as an accountability partner, or to share something with that maybe you've been stuffing down and you just really want to tell someone, tell them how to react. And yep, those statements. If you guys go watch my morning success routine, we go over all of this in detail. So really helps with money. And then with sex, I think what we covered is like really allowing to feel and feel the pleasure and receiving type of thing.
It's really the same work.
Yeah.
It's the same work, you know, forgiving past breakups or processing those, journaling about them, like getting it out, how you got hurt, how you felt unsafe, doing your daily practices around love and receiving. And, you know, it's the same stuff. We're just focusing on a different thing. But again, it's all in the same energetic center. So love and intimacy are just so interconnected. So honoring yourself, trusting yourself, and doing that inner work will increase both.
Yeah. And one last thing, because I feel like I have to say this. When you guys are feeling pleasure, what if you just kept allowing it? You push that next boundary. Like you're like, oh my gosh, this is too good. Self-sabotage, push away, leave, whatever it is. What if you just try to feel it more? You allowed it more. You feel it more and you let it keep going instead of pushing it away. This could be sex. This could be fun. This could be friendship. This could be whatever. Ease into it. Like lean into the pleasure. And if you guys, if this resonates, please share this with your friends. Please take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your Instagram. Like, share this. This is what women and men need to hear.
Absolutely. And when you want to run away, know that that's your personal survival strategy. And recognize like, okay, there's your awareness. This is how I do it. Now you know what you need to work on.
Yes. I love this so much. So one last thing. Is this the same for men too? Like, similar stuff?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of men over the years as well. So we are human. Women process things just a little bit different, but that's also, you know, some women have very masculine energy.
I do.
I do too. I can definitely be a force of nature.
Yes, yes.
And some men have more feminine energy, and that's great. You know, I believe personally that masculine or feminine comes from the soul, not necessarily, you know, what I jokingly call the meat suit. you know, this is just the body. In spirituality, we say it's like a shoe. We'll drop it off and the soul will go on. So the soul might be more identified with being masculine, and that's okay. So honor where you are and pull out the steps that work for you. I would say, you know, we've given like a ton of tips in the episode. So maybe just take two or three and try them out. Like, be your own experimenter, see what works. And just know that if you've been doing this work for a long time, you might need something that's even next level. Cause that's what I find, is that what got you here won't get you there.
Yeah. And it made me think, I'm going to maybe share something I haven't really shared with my group. So my group is really intimate. I share trauma and healing and stuff. So I might come out and share something that I've kind of stuffed down. It came up in this call and I'm like, okay, maybe I could talk about this. Didn't think it affects me, but I think maybe it does. It's something that you push in the corner of your mind that maybe you don't think affects you and you haven't touched in a while. But if it comes up, that's your brain telling you, oh, maybe that's the thing that you should talk about.
And what's great about that is it's come up. So your mind and your body are ready to deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's put it, your mind and body are excellent and they want to keep you safe. So if they've put it in a box for a long time, but yeah, it keeps popping up. That's your consciousness saying like, hey, girlfriend,
you're ready.
We're ready to do this work.
Yeah, that's what happened with my abandonment issues, my father issues. It was in a little box hidden for a long time. And then I was ready to deal with it. So yeah, I love that. That was fabulous.
Yeah. And awesome. We're always going to get those.
Yes. Okay. So you guys, where can they find you on Instagram and Facebook?
So on Instagram, I'm at The Transformation Babe, and same on Facebook, at The Transformation Babe. My website is torihelf.com. So TORIHELF as in Frank.com.
Awesome, you guys. And the links are in the bio. And go check her out. If you really feel called to her message, if you're like, oh my gosh, I want to hire this girl, like, go check her out. She's awesome. I've met her in person, and we might even be doing like some events coming up together. So just check her out and be part of her tribe.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, review, and share with your fellow biz babes. I'd love to hear your thoughts, takeaways, and questions. So leave me a review on iTunes. And until next time, I'll see you at the top. It's up to you to level up.